Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa, and I give a shit. Somebody's got to, because it seems like everybody out there in the world is pretty much self-involved these days. So I do give a shit, even though I am really a pretty self-involved person by nature anyway. But if you get my attention, I will care. And if you want to get my attention, you can contact me at Dr. Dr. Lisa Levy SP anywhere on social media. So thanks for listening. I'm coming to you from Radio Free Brooklyn, which is the greatest radio station in the world. I have I'm very, like, you know what? I'm sort of excited, but sort of also calmed. I'm going to say that my guest today somehow is making me feel calm, which is so weird. Her name is Abby Eamon, and she is the most multi-hyphenated person I think I've had on the show. And I'm going to introduce you to her in a second, right after. First of all, I really want to complain about my Invisaligns, guys, because I know we've been talking about this. Abby, did you know I had Invisaligns?
I had it too.
You did it too?
Yeah.
Really? Your teeth look great. That makes me feel better.
Well, that's because I had the Invisaligns.
Wow. So I went to the dentist and I thought I was completely done. And he's like, no, we got to, like, so maybe three. I'll get like three more. I have 10 more.
Yeah. Well, they think they can get it more and more perfect. But,
it's not that they lie. They're all perfectionists. Dentists have to be perfectionists, I guess. So anyway, I just want to remind you that you should donate some money to us, because this is a 501c, and we actually, you know, we need money. We don't even know how we're going to pay for pizza next month.
You got to pay the rent.
We got to pay the rent. We got to pay. We are a nonprofit, and it's listeners like you that keep us going. So go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate and let us know that you care about us. It's Mother's Day, and I want to be your mother. How's that? Give me a couple dollars. Anyway, Abby, hello. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
So here's the thing about, okay, so Abby's looking at me because I'm going to describe her. So here's the thing about Abby. Okay, so I told you she was a multi-hyphenate. So there's so many things that she's done. I don't even know how to describe. I'm going to try and do it in sort of a list form. But before I do that, I just want you to know that I've known who Abby was forever. We have some friends in common, but she's always been kind of like this icon to me, somebody that I would hear about because she's been involved in like all the coolest parties and all the coolest publications and all the coolest everything. And now we're actually in the same room together. So I want to really get off. So this is a very self, I'm having one of my dreams fulfilled here. I'm going to find out more about her. So this is all about me now. But I also
think it's already all on the internet.
Anyway, I did my research. But the thing is also is that chatting with Abby just right now, I think there's sort of like Abby lived the life. I'm going to say that Abby lived the life that I wanted, that if I had the balls, I would have lived. Okay. So that's what I'm going to tell you. It turns out when I was starting out as an art director in advertising, she had started out as a copywriter. But she went on to have like a really exciting life. I did not until lately, maybe. We also both wore black dresses to our weddings. That's pretty good.
That's pretty ballsy to get married in black.
Yeah, well, you know, at your age, I mean, you got married in your 30s. I got married in my 50s. Also, Abby and I, our birthday cousins, her birthday, my birthday is Saturday. Your birthday is the week
27th. It's on Memorial Day this year.
And I am going to be 63. And Abby, she's okay with me saying this. She's going to be 60. So see what I'm saying? We have parallel lives.
It's a big one.
I'm going to find out what my life could have been like. But
all you need to do is get fired from every job you've ever had.
I did that. I tried to get back. I killed myself trying to get. I mean, I sacrificed my soul for corporate America. And Abby didn't. So anyway, Abby, here's one thing I learned about her. You helped organize the original SantaCon.
Not the original one. The original one was in from San Francisco is the Cacophony Society. And then when people in New York started doing it, Ducky Doolittle, I don't know if you remember her. She used to have a fanzine and she would sit in pies and cakes and stuff. And a guy named Gavin, they were Cacophony Society members and they started it in New York. And they brought it to one of the parties that I did on Friday nights. That was back when New York City SantaCon lasted all weekend.
Wow.
And it was there had to have been less than 100 people involved.
Oh, wow.
Now it's thousands of douche bros and you don't want to leave your house.
I know. I figured it must have had some other. So anyway, I'm just going to go through this really quickly. In the past, so this is like mostly like her past. Abby owns a bar now. I'm going to focus on that in a few minutes, but let me just go through really quickly her background. Self-described smutmeister and her capacity as a writer. She's a really great writer. And I know that from her writing and from her reputation, from other really good writers always have enormous respect for her writing. And conceivable sexual, so she wrote about, covered almost every conceivable sexual topic, obscure fetishes, carnal obsessions, nightclubs, erotic sex toys, adult DVDs, her own personal sex plots. 3 months of the year, she worked for Black City, Burning Man, folks. That's what it is. She did like big thing at Burning Man for 3 years. 3 months out of each year. So she was big in Burning Man, big part of that. She's written for Penthouse Forum, Penthouse Variation, Screw, Hustler, Sexy New York City, Live Girls, Lake Sex, Panty Play, Big Butt, Big Butt. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, she really a niche knows. Market, if you will.
Yeah. Leg World, Playboys, Rouse, Museum of Sex, The Position, Dirty, New Rave, Extreme. And she's had her own magazines, Extreme Fetish Magazine, Porn Free, and she started out as the editor, associate editor for Penthouse Forum. Was that after you got fired from advertising, John?
Yeah, well, I got fired from advertising and wound up talking my way into being the Girl Friday receptionist ad money gatherer at New York Press.
Oh.
That was my first job in publishing.
Oh.
And, you know, there I was answering the phones and typesetting, you know, on my little tiny Mac. Remember those little Macs?
Yeah, you knew
with the little hard drive, the little plastic disc. And so I was typesetting the first person column, which I remember answering the phone once, and it was David Sedaris. And I'm like, I said, oh, I need to talk to John Strasbaugh. And I said, who's calling? He's like, oh, it's David Sedaris. I'm like, oh, my God, David Sedaris and the Sandland Diaries? You're going to be really famous. And that was a long time ago, and that was pretty much all he'd had published, and now he is hugely famous.
Yes.
So I was prescient there.
Yes.
I could have been a talent scout.
You should have invested in him.
I wish, yeah.
So, okay, so we're not done here. She's also one of Manhattan's premium party impresarios. So all these parties, folks, she's done Mondo Porno, which is a rock and roll meets smut, extravaganza in New York, San Francisco, Boston, Las Vegas, BDSM play parties, on-site click and drag, big famous party that I knew about that I was too nerdy to go to. and Gamora Kitchen. There's so many parties here that she ran, and she curated a lecture series at the Manhattan Museum of Sex. And one more thing. She booked talent for Rupert Murdoch's Christmas party. That's great. Did you?
Yeah, it was, I think I was like a subcontracted person and I just grabbed people. They needed lots of hoopla happening.
They needed people in plastic and leather.
I think, it was totally mainstream. I booked like the Hungry March Band and they wanted like a circus atmosphere. So they wanted a band and jugglers and stuff like that.
Oh.
So I just, you know.
Well, you can do anything.
I can do anything.
You can do anything you could do that.
I know all the freaks. I just booked a bunch of freaks for my nephew's 21st birthday party.
Oh, wow.
It was Gianni Versace themed. He's very specific.
Wow, your nephew? Specific. Where does he live?
That apple didn't fall far from any trees.
Wow. You're an aunt. You must be like, is he like, oh my God, you're my aunt? I can't get over how great that is.
Yeah, well, all my sister's kids think I'm pretty great because I'm kind of a weirdo for an aunt. But But my nephew's a weirdo too. He's been a weirdo since he was little.
He sees himself.
Any 21-year-old who does a Gianni Versace theme for, I mean, he had like rented Venus de Milo. It was crazy.
That was his idea?
Yeah, he's
so a can I just ask, is he gay?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, he was gay from the get-go. He was and made me believe in nature, not nurture, because like
he was definitely
born that way.
Okay. Also, Abby's been on like a bunch of TV shows. Yeah. Okay. So you get the picture, guys. You get the picture. So that's like you're on the verge of, you're going to be 60 in a week, right?
Yeah, it's a big one. I'm usually not too afraid of birthdays, but this one's a little bit scarier than the rest.
Yeah, I really had to manage that one myself. I hear you. You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because for one thing, like I said, I identify with you because you had the life that I wished I'd had. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're not an old lady.
No, I may be of a certain age.
We're doing the same. I mean, you own a bar now.
Yeah. I mean, people say that I'm the youngest old person they know because I'm just, you know, I refuse to grow up.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah, because we still want to have fun.
Yeah. And I don't think that you have to get boring just because you're older.
No. And I think curiosity is a really... Don't you,
yeah,
don't you think?
And sort of there's like a zip to it. I'm not one to stay home all the time. I do stay home now more than I used to because I feel like I have to conserve my mental energy. Being a bartender and being at the bar all the time, it's like being forced to be social.
Right.
As opposed to, I'm going to this fun party because I want to. It's like enforced social time, and that can be a little draining.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean, I feel a little bit like sometimes, like I love doing the show and I love trying to connect with people through the show. And hopefully I do, just not try. But the thing is that self-criticism there. Shut up, Lisa. So anyway, the thing is that, but I know what you mean. Like sometimes I feel so sated. By doing the show, that I don't want to like have any kind of conversation.
Like I just want to run home after an 8-hour shift and, you know, sit with the dog on the couch and watch Law and Order reruns.
So this is your current thing. You started this bar a couple of years ago. Tell us about the bar.
It's called Lucky. It's on Avenue B between 10th and 11th. I bought the space February 2016 and took a couple months to renovate it. I just posted actually a picture of what it looked like before on the bar social media today, which I switch that up every day. And May is Lower East Side History Month, so I'm trying to do historical posts when I have no events going on.
Is that social media? Because I posted Facebook. Is it more Instagram? Should we look at
it's
that?
It's Instagram. And
so we should look
Instagram,
at Instagram. Okay.
No. That actually isn't
on where did
Instagram.
You post, I should
Facebook
say.
And Google Business.
Oh, those Google ones, Business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I save the Insta for stuff that's perfect. Like tonight. There's a come to this or come to this.
She's got it worked out, folks.
Today. I don't do the daily stuff because it's just exhausting.
No. I'm learning here. We're learning. We're all learning.
I probably should be posting every day on the Insta, but.
No, you're doing enough. You're doing fine.
Also, you know, I'll hashtag, you know, day drinking or whatever and get a new follower in Australia and it doesn't do shit for me.
Right.
It's lovely that I have that new follower, you know, like, oh, stitching, bitch, that's really great. So I have people who are into knitting in the UK. It's like, well, they're not going to come to the bar, at least not this week. Who knows? Maybe they'll come a year from now. But
so
I need people. I need asses and seats today.
I hear you. So you opened the bar a couple of years ago. So seeing how. Yeah, parallel lives. Like, but see, that's what's so great. Like, I mean, I'm thinking about how I started doing a radio show, this show, 4 years ago at age 59. I had never done this before, and you never opened a bar before.
I'd never even managed a bar. I had bartended, but
and that's so great. So
it just took tremendous balls, I'll tell you.
That's what I'm saying, folks.
The only difference between doing something and not doing something is just barreling on ahead because I really didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've learned loads of lessons. I'm currently trying to open bar number two.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it'll be cheaper and easier because of all the lessons I've learned.
Wow. So you've taken to it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in the black since the day we opened, which apparently is a big deal. But I didn't have any choice because I spent too much money on the renovation. So while I wanted to have X amount of dollars in the bank so that I would have a cash reserve if I wasn't in the black, that just didn't happen. So it was just, I was lucky that I was in the black from the get-go.
Well, I'm going to guess a big part an intrinsic element of your talent is that you are really good at somehow corralling people into a really fun social
place. Yes, I've been pretty good with the coercion. You know, I can motivate people to socialize, and I think I've always done that since I was little.
Yeah,
like, I've
you're
loved
really
to throw parties and bring
that.
People together and introduce people to each other, and the bar has, you know, it's hard to believe how closely it has turned out to the original vision. Because,
really?
You know, you can paint the walls and put the bottles of booze in, but, you know, you don't really know who's going to walk in the door. And I've found that even from the very beginning, the people I didn't want in there would walk in and walk right back out.
That's
again.
That's fabulous.
And the people I did want have been there ever since I opened. And I call it our gallery of weirdos. I've had this great like carnival sign that I bought at an antique mall in Reno. It just says gallery of weirdos. And that's our thing. And everybody's an oddball in their own little way, all super smart and interesting with loads of things to say. You know, we don't suffer fools and we don't like, you know, we don't do stupid. Mm-hmm. And then we don't have any TVs in the bar. So the people
that.
Who walk in and they immediately go, this isn't for me. And they leave.
Oh,
we get a lot
good.
Of muggles in the summer because
muggles?
They do love the backyard. Yeah.
Normals. Muggles?
Muggles is it's a Harry Potter word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Muggles are non-wizards. And so in my world, we're all
muggles.
Wizards.
See, that's good. I'm gonna borrow that.
The muggles
I'm
love
that
the
on.
Backyard and we love their money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're not, I mean, if you're the bartender, they're not in your face then.
Right.
So
true.
That's fine. Let them.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm schooling people on how to drink and behave in a bar.
Right.
One muggly 22-year-old at a time. Because some of them do come in and manage to stick it out.
What would, oh.
The youngsters.
What would be misbehaving? What would you consider like drinking?
It isn't even misbehaving. They just they don't know how to order. They don't know how to tip. They don't know how to like interact in a bar. It's kind of crazy.
Hard to imagine.
There were generations where you would go into a bar and be like, oh, this is alien territory. So I'm going to observe the behavior of everyone else.
Right.
And mirror that because that's how things work. And these are just, there's this whole new generation and I don't like to be slagging the millennials, but like there is it's a whole generation of people who aren't aware of what's going on around them and learning
You're
from
right.
it. They're just like,
right.
brr, 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 brr. My parents gave me, you know, a ribbon for getting out of bed or whatever school of thought is, that they just aren't looking around themselves to see how to conduct themselves. And they can get away with that other places, but I'm like, hey, that doesn't fly here.
That's good.
You know, you have to be
That's
polite.
Good.
You have to, you know, look around you and be aware of what you're doing in the world.
That's good. So you're putting some really good stuff out there. I also want to comment.
I hope so.
I thank you. And I think a lot of people are grateful for the instruction that you're giving these people. But I also want to comment on the jukebox, which is magic.
Thank you. I don't know where I even got the idea. I knew that I wanted, for sure at least, to have the music from the downtown Beirut jukebox
and
in
you've
my
been
bar.
And you've been involved in music. You have a back.
Yeah.
I mean,
tangentially. Yeah.
Because, you know, sex and music. And
right.
All that.
And nightclubs, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right.
But I wanted there to be music that I wanted to hear. And I hung out in and then worked in downtown Beirut, which I still think is the best bar ever, and it had this amazing jukebox, super eclectic. So I had a friend actually the husband of the woman who was the bartender when I used to hang out there. She gave me some of her shifts when she retired. They made the CDs for me. So there are six CDs on there that more or less replicate the Downtown Beirut jukebox. You've got, you know, Touch Me, I'm Sick. You've got Mr. Tambourine Man by William Shatner. Monkeys and what have you. And then there's a couple CDs from the Mars Bar. There's a couple CDs from the Lakeside Lounge. There's Motor City. And then I had some more made by DJs from parties. So Howie Pyro from Green Door made me a CD. And Michael T from Motherfucker made me a CD. I had one that, of Michael T's from Kitchen. I've got a Jackie 61 from Johnny Dinell. So I've got like some famous DJs make me mix CDs of the music that they spun at these now defunct parties.
Wow.
So it's crazy eclectic. It's the only place you're going to hear, you know, an amazingly wide range of music that isn't, it's a highly curated, it isn't an internet jukebox, which I thought was all the music in the world. And if you go and look, it isn't. they limit that, and you're not going to be able to put classical music on in a rock bar, I guess. But yeah, we've got a pretty wide variety.
I mean, there is kind of nothing like that jukebox. It's true. I mean, it is true. We know this. So that adds a lot. I mean, the space is also, I really like the size of the space. Was that a big consideration?
Well, when I first started looking at spaces, I looked at the old, not going to remember the name of it. It was a place on Rivington, and it was too big. And I looked at the old lit lounge and I was a little afraid of that because I'd never done this before. And I didn't want to, if I was going to fail, I wanted to fail on a smaller scale. So I was looking for something smaller. And this place is only 500 square feet with a couple more square feet in the yard. So,
yeah. So it's nice because it doesn't feel like, it feels like everybody is sort of in the same room.
Excuse me.
It's in height.
Yeah. It's intimate.
Yeah. It's a great place. Let's give out. It's Avenue B and
between 10th and 11th, 168 Avenue B.
It's and you have a lot of events there, right?
I do like a monthly Burning Man happy hour. If people want to learn about Burning Man or meet up with people who are going or just hobnob. Like it brings in people from out of town who are burners coming through New York City, and they'll stop in. I didn't even realize, you know, Google statistics or whatever can tell you how people find the bar, and one of them is like NYC Burning Man Bar, and that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So people are finding me that way, and we do have a monthly Stitch and Bitch where people come and do their knitting and crocheting. We have a monthly Kink and Draw, which is like a drink and draw only with a fetish aspect, and Lady Zombie is the hostess of that. So people come and they sketch. She has her models in, you know, tied up or with a ball gag or whatever. So I still have one toe still in the kink community. And I do like clothing swaps, and I have a wine group that's coming in now. All kinds of,
it's,
you know,
all
interesting
on the
stuff.
Website that I have posted on the Facebook page.
Yeah. It's Lucky on B is all my social media.
Yeah. So thank you from the community for doing this. It seems like a public service.
It is. Well, and like even before I barely was open, Gays Against Guns needed a place to make their props. And so they've been doing like spray painting t-shirts and banners in my backyard since they first formed after the big shooting in Florida. And now we have those every day. So nobody's even, you know, but they've gotten arrested places and become sort of a pretty well-known protest group. They have some people involved with Gays Against Guns are from the old ACT UP crew. So they know how to perform entertaining civil disobedience, if you will. Like they get on the news and they have an impact.
So it's interesting. You have had, it seems to me like, I'm going to call it your career, even though it doesn't have any kind of linear trajectory.
Not at all.
The only trajectory it has is the roadmap of your life, really.
Yeah.
You personally. I don't know anybody like you. So anyway, but it seems as if like part of what you've been is you've been a force in a lot of different communities. Would you say that's true?
Yeah. I mean, the nightlife world, you know, introduced me to many different worlds. So when I first started going to Jackie 60, and I was like so afraid to go because their flyers were really intimidating and they're like dress code and legends know no code. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, you know, you didn't have to pay attention to the dress code if you were a legend. And so I like got all dressed up and I went there and I'm like, oh my God, the only people who are really dressed up for the most part are the people who work here, which made it very difficult when we started Click and Drag, because then those legends would show up in their blue jeans and we'd be like, we don't allow people in blue jeans. So it was tough because Click and Drag had an extremely tough, no khakis, no blue jeans.
Oh, wow.
One of my co-producer's husbands came in blue jeans once, mm-hmm. and that was like, you know, the closest we got to mm-hmm. anyone coming in blue jeans.
So has your lifestyle been kind of the same? Like, what did I miss? Because I had to go to work at, like, you know, 9 o'clock till like late at night. What were you doing? What did I miss? Did you,
well, I,
were you,
you know,
sleeping all day and going out all night? Or what was it like? What was your life? Do you think that your lifestyle has been consistent, even though, like, you have so many different things that you do? I think writing and hosting are two.
Well, when I finally got laid off or fired or whatever from Penthouse, I wound up freelancing, and, you know, you can do that at any hour. So I was still doing the parties, and I had been doing the parties, like, anyway, on Saturday nights, and so I could be
while
doing,
you were
could,
working yeah, at yeah, you had and, a full-time job at Penthouse
yeah
writing
and I could do more parties when I didn't have to get up in the morning. Not that I wouldn't have done them anyway, but it was certainly easier to not need to get up in the morning. So I was asleep when 9/11 happened.
Wow.
And because I'd been up all night the night before. And, you know, when you get home at 5 or 6 or whatever in the morning, you sleep half the day away. And, you know, then I would get up and I would write. And it wasn't for lack of try. I mean, I did try to get jobs. It was just, you know, once you've worked at Penthouse, it's not exactly the big resume builder that anyone might think it would be. It was certainly a great job. And the woman who was my boss took it very seriously, and we weren't allowed to have bare legs in the summer, and men had to wear ties.
Really?
And,
wow.
Yeah, she was an ex-dominatrix, so she had a very heavy hand.
So to speak.
And she didn't let us get away with much, but she was super, super serious. And, you know, these are the words you can use for genitalia, and these are the words you couldn't.
Is that a good thing or like a...
It gave us a little bit of structure and discipline,
so
I guess.
Okay.
I mean, that's what she wanted, was discipline.
Because I'm sensing that she was annoying.
Well, what was it like when she finally let me go? She said, oh, I know you've never been happy here. And I was very taken aback by that because I loved the job.
Wow.
But the other guy who also got laid off with me, I don't know, she could have kept us on, and she made some, you know, oh, I'm keeping the people who I hired more recently.
Excuse. I've been fired a lot.
But
I know that feeling.
We were malcontents, but not in a, I didn't think, in a bad way. We just wanted the magazine to be better. And we were trying to drag it kicking and screaming into the 21st century. And she was resistant. And we're like, please let us have a column. Like, we talked her into a CD review. Like, let us review CDs, and we called it fucking fabulous music. So we would position it as buy this CD to have sex to.
Right.
Like, we had
that's
to, like,
so smart.
Talk her into it.
Did it go well?
It went fine. I mean, but
she took you personally.
Well, and also she knew that I was, like, again, back to the whole not suffering fools. She's like, I know you're making it a face at me behind my back. And I'm like, yeah. And if I wanted to turn around and go, yeah, because you're being a fucking pain in my ass. Because that's how I speak to people.
Right.
And I think we should all be on equal footing. And she was the boss. You know, and which was fine. You know, we weren't equals. She was my boss. But she also created this atmosphere of openness. So I felt like I could be a little bit more real with her than you might be with another boss.
Well, it's Penthouse.
Yeah. I mean, she did want everyone to realize that we had a serious day job, and, you know, publishing is fairly serious, and then you're on a deadline. You can't slack off, or, you know, miss your deadline. And then it was print, and print, we could see that print was failing, and we were just trying to like sell magazines. And in the end, it didn't matter really.
No, no. But it sounds like it sounds sort of ironic or something, or counterintuitive, whatever you want to call it, because you expect one thing from Penthouse, but then it sounds like she had kind of a different you know what I mean?
Well,
like
she had a formula that had been working for 30 years and didn't want to, you know, fuck with the product. And we just wanted to modernize it a little bit.
Right.
You know, it was a super fun job, though. It was great. Yeah. People would be like, so are the letters real? Because, you know, Penthouse Forum mm-hmm. and Variations and Penthouse Letters were all those little digest sized magazines. And
yeah, they were really
I would get real letters, like handwritten, and have to type them into the computer. And some of them would be all set up and no denouement. And some of them, so we would have to write the cum shot or whatever. And some of them would be all that and no buildup. Uh-huh. And, you know, so I would flesh it out, so to speak.
How long did you have that job?
Gosh, not very long. Three. I feel like every job I've ever had lasted 2 to 4 years, and then
something like that.
I just really have been fired from every job I've ever had, which is why I'm a good entrepreneur.
We are really the same that way too. I've been fired from I've had jobs for maybe 4 or 5 years, but I have been fired from pretty much every job I've had.
I'm a mouthy broad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I have a real
hard time keeping my mouth shut.
And no one really wants smart women around if they can help it.
Yeah. Or not. You can be smart, just not smarter than me. And I am genius. So get out of the way, everybody.
Not openly smart.
Right.
You have to hide it.
Yeah.
And you're not very good
at that. And rebellious as well. You know, like I said, she just wanted everyone to nod and smile and be good little slaves. And we didn't want to be her little slaves. We wanted to, you know, have our own say.
So anyway, you know what? I have to remind people that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah. You can tell them. Yeah,
Tell them. So will you tell them for me?
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thank you. That's so good.
And they're in a new, really cool studios. Last time I was, I don't even remember where I come up out of the subway, and I'm such a borough snob. I'm like, oh, hey, Brooklyn, I don't know, where am I? And I would have pop up out of the hole in the ground and bumble along where my little gizmo tells me to go. But this is super swanky.
So, we're getting it at a discount, folks, but we still have to pay for it.
Yeah, when I walked in, I asked Lisa, so the landlord must be like, oh, we're going to give some of our square footage at a reasonable rate to the artistes.
No, the 501c, so we can get a tax deduction,
well,
too.
Well, bless their little hearts.
Yeah, but we, you know, don't. Yeah, this is totally like, you know, seat of the pants operation. So go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate and donate some money. There, I did my job. Yeah. I did my job. But, you know, so I'm looking at you, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be 63 on Saturday, and you're going to be 60 in a couple of weeks. So this is a time when I kind of like look back. I'm thinking like what I'm thinking about is like, how do you, like what phase of life am I in?
Yeah.
Do you think
my dad died recently at 94.
Wow.
And my mom is 83. And so I've got a lot longer to go, I think. So I don't look at it like twilight of my life or anything maudlin like that. And I, you know, I'm certainly still doing pretty much everything that I always have done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I stay up till 4 in the morning if I want to, and I drink if I want to, and do drugs
And you started a new venture like 2 years ago.
Right,
so we're
recently,
not,
so it's all
don't
new.
Don't let me project that onto you, please. But what I guess like I think about like kind of working in corporate America and working and then my life past that. Do you like how do you sum up all that stuff that you've done? Is there a way that you look like I'm just saying, like for me, it's kind of like post, like I'm in the post corporate America and also married. You know, I got married at 54. So I'm in that phase. I define, not define, but it's kind of like it feels.
So you're in a more personal nesting time of your life probably than you've been previously.
Maybe.
Doing your own thing more than you ever have before.
Yeah, I'm doing my own thing at as far as my work goes, but then maybe in a certain way, there's a certain restriction to like living with this other fucking human.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I like having my own space. And so yeah. I don't, you know, it's been a long time since I've done the corporate America. So that phase was so long ago that it's like in the deep past.
Well, is there like a pre-bar post? Are you in your bar phase?
Yeah. And I mean, I've got a 10-year lease, 7 more years. God mm-hmm. knows what the next step is going to be. If I do wind up opening bar number 2, it would be a totally different thing.
Would it be?
It's still in the East Village because I need to be able to get there.
Why do you, so ambitious. Why do you want another bar?
Because I want to be busier. Does that sound insane? I feel like this one is sort of running itself. It is pretty easy. And a lot of what I do is booking events, booking the parties, booking, like looking 3 mm-hmm. months into the, and I've been doing that mm-hmm. now since publishing and the party throwing, like you just are living in the future. So it helps me to not live in the past. You know, if anything, it's Facebook that wants us all, oh, look what you were doing a year ago or whatever. It's like, I don't give a shit what I was doing a year ago.
So just, stay.
Looking into the future. And if I find bar number 2, I probably won't be there at all because we're lucky is the clubhouse and it is the vision. Mm-hmm. But this other place would be more a bigger vision of like a different kind of venue, and it would be more mainstream. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't scare people away in the same way that Lucky scares people.
Right,
away.
Right.
It would be more for the mainstream.
More inclusive, maybe.
Yes. Certain, well, I mean, I hate that word.
I hate that word. I shouldn't have said
that.
See,
to me, inclusive, I consider Lucky to be extremely inclusive.
Right.
We just got a really crappy Yelp review recently by this woman who said, oh, it's snobby and clicky. Don't bother going unless you already know someone who's in, which is just preposterous.
No,
I have to say.
I know.
There is nothing snobby about me or anyone who hangs out in this bar.
No, I know that.
At all.
I know that.
But
that's
the
fucking internet, man.
Yeah. Everyone has an opinion, and we're all publishers, right?
Right.
She was there, on a Friday night. It was rainy. Donovan is my Friday night bartender, and he's not Mr. Fellow Well Met. He's not like, he's not an impresario. He just wants to give you your drinks. And I call him the ever acerbic Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
So if it had been me behind the bar and you came in and didn't know anyone, I would introduce you to people because unless someone's just like on their phone or in a book and clearly doesn't want to interact with anyone, I make sure that they meet people because that's what everyone's there for. As Gaz Regan said, no one goes to a bar for a drink. There are a million other reasons. They're doing their laundry or they're trying to get out of the house because their roommate's having sex with their roommate or whatever. There are millions of reasons why people go to a bar, and a drink isn't the only one. Anyway,
I
apologize to them. I'm like, I'm very sorry that experience because I would have introduced
you
to people.
You're so not like that.
Yeah,
you
I'm about as far from snobby
so
as it's possible to be.
Not like that.
Yeah, but I do think that we are inclusive, but I'm more inclusive of weirdos and less inclusive of the people who are being included everywhere else already. Most especially in the East Village because there are so many bars now that are for the mainstream. They're just for the, Joe Schmo and Patty McEverywheres, and I don't want to be the 13th step.
We don't need every
other bar.
Right. But you know what? I'm learning something from you all about looking forward.
Yeah. Well, you must book people for here, which allows you to look forward.
Yeah. But I think that is because I do think that I'm going to say myself and certainly you, we have not evolved into like rigid. We are curious people who are continually evolving,
I think New York is still full of those people, maybe fewer, but certainly people in our age group are still here because I have like a couple of my regulars are older than I am.
Yeah.
And they have recently moved to New York because they're curious, because they don't want to be old, because they don't want to be rigid, and they want to go see concerts and go see art exhibits and visit galleries and meet new people, and they don't want to be locked into their little world that they've, that people in suburbia might be or wherever. So I think New York fosters a good place for curiosity.
Right, right, right. Yeah, right. And also, I know myself that I don't want to, like, my impression of old people is from, like, where I came from, my family. How about you? What kind of...
Yeah, I mean, my parents? My father was a pilot, so
wow,
we traveled a lot. So that he wanted to be a pilot to go see the world. And so, you know,
You travel to?
Oh, that's, I've been everywhere.
Really?
I've ridden on a camel between the Sphinx and the pyramids.
Wow.
I've been all over. I haven't, you know, been to every country, but I, you know, I did the backpacking Uriel thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I was going to ask you if you were really athletic, because I think you have a lot of physical energy, and I think
I don't hold still.
Have so much energy. Like the idea... I mean, at any age, folks, I mean, come on. I want to open a second bar.
Yeah.
Come
I mean, I stay in shape. I go to the gym and I move mm-hmm. kegs around.
But you also seem like, were you into sports when you were
a kid or anything? No, I've never been a sports ball person. I was on the drill team in high school.
That sounds horrible.
Oh, I loved it. I loved dance. Really? I loved dancing. And I, you know, we had really cool uniforms. There were gold lame and blue, you know, and we would, yeah, I loved it. And then I was a letter girl, which was sort of like a pom-pom girl cheerleader thing.
Right. So that's athletic.
Yeah, I guess.
You have some natural athletic talent.
More choreography, less competitiveness.
Your parents must have been very curious people as well, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
My mom still is. She goes and plays bridge every day.
Wow.
She loves to go shopping to weird antique malls and flea markets and mm-hmm. stuff. And she loves to chat everyone up.
Mm-hmm. And what about your sisters? You said... You have just
one sister, and yeah, she's pretty much sort of like me, but if the person who followed the rules a little bit better. So she like took the SATs 5 times and went to Princeton, and
she did
got a really fancy job.
What did she do?
I hope she isn't offended by this, but I like to say she divorced well. Like, you know, so people marry well. Well, she married this guy and they both moved to California together and got married. And when they moved to California, neither of them even had a job. They just wanted to be back in California. Or he'd never lived there before and she had. So they wanted to move to California and he got fabulously wealthy and then they got a divorce. Uh-huh. So
she was part of, what did he do?
Yeah, private equities.
Right. He was good at math.
Investing. Good at
figuring shit out.
Yeah.
He's good at figuring shit
Private
out.
Private equities is sort of what Richard Gere did in Pretty Woman, but they have like corporate raiders or whatever. They gave it a different name so it wouldn't have such a bad rap. I could be making that totally up
because I
don't understand. But he made a mega fuck ton of money. So.
In the money business.
Yeah,
he was in the money business, so he made a lot of money.
And he's still raking it in. And they,
yeah, and she had a lot to do with that, I'm sure.
Well, she had 4 of his children. And,
yeah,
you
so
know,
she deserved.
So now she sits on the boards of a bunch of really super fancy what do you call?
Nonprofit?
Charities.
Like that's nice.
The Berkeley Rep, and I don't know if she's still on the board of Berkeley Rep, but, and then like the, I don't know the names of all of them.
She has 4 kids.
She's got 4
that's
kids.
That's not that easy. There's no way around that.
4 amazing children.
That's so cool.
Crazy full-time
that's
job.
That's so cool. So you have kids in your life that way.
Yeah.
Because like me, see, this is what I'm saying. Neither of us had children.
No.
I'm a stepmom, but which is different.
Kids. Thank God. Oh my God. All my friends had kids.
And you were married. You had been married, but you were married in a different phase of your life. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I got married when I was like 34, 35. And, you know, I still had a fairly like.
Yeah. That's not young. That's not like you didn't
unstructured
have.
Unstructured life.
You were married.
We were both working 9-to-5 jobs when I got married, but I got laid off from Penthouse like 3 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a pretty weird, mm-hmm. you know, job situation.
So you're single, or at least you're single.
I'm seeing someone.
You're seeing somebody. Yeah, but how long has it been that you've been in the single mix?
Well, I was single from most off and on, I guess, from when I got divorced, which was 2000. I don't even remember when it became official, but I've been more or less single off and on since 2006.
since
had a boyfriend for a while there, but it was so difficult that I, like, even though we were together for 5 years, there were times in those 5 years where I wasn't with him. And the guy that I'm seeing now, I've only been seeing for 7-8 months. So that was a pretty big span of time to be single. Well, and I wrote, I had a blog for a long time, and I wrote a lot about dating. Horror stories.
What was it like?
Dating is terrible.
Why?
Internet dating's terrible.
Why?
It's terrible. It's just dating sucks. Just people meeting organically in this dimension is far better. Like, you know, if you're looking across the room at someone and you're like, well, I like the way they look. And then they catch you looking at them and then they think, oh, I like the way they look. And then you can maneuver over until you're talking to each other. But on the internet, you can look at a, you know, two-dimensional photograph and read their favorite movies and still not like the way they smell when you're in the same room with them.
Know,
it's just it so makes, terrible. It's so terrible.
It makes so much sense to me, you know, because sometimes you feel like, oh, well, you know, if I, whatever, I could go in. Because I obviously met my husband before we were, before internet dating was popular, but like, it seems like it would be a way out. But, you know, I mean, when I spent all of my 30s and my early 40s single, and I would go like 6 months without ever having a date and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Well, also, you know, aside from how hard it is to date, whether it's online or not, if you're a weirdo or a super smart person or a super bossy person or a super, like, I'm extremely difficult to get along with, I think. Difficult to please in certain ways. I don't suffer fools. I don't have patience for stupid. There's so many things about me that make me kind of undateable and people, I just would never meet people that I wanted to spend time with.
You know what, ladies, and I want the young ladies to hear this, because I wind up saying this, I kind of realized this later in life that, I have a big mouth. And I don't, like, you know, I'm not a suck up. So men, you know, whatever. I had my own reasons why men didn't want to date me, which I didn't realize at the time. But looking back, I realized that a lot of times guys just don't want smart, outspoken women.
Right.
And I wind up telling a lot of young women this because they think, as I did, that there was something wrong with me.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with you, ladies.
There's never anything wrong with you. All you need to do is keep being you until the person who appreciates that comes along, because being alone is way better. And to be honest, the one good thing about Tinder and internet dating is if you just want to have sex, you can swipe whatever and go, okay, person who I can maybe tolerate for an hour and a half, meet me over here and let's just do this.
Yeah, so there is would have loved that.
Which you kind of, I mean, and that's what we did when we would hang out in bars back in the day.
No,
and you just
you
get shit-faced enough, you can take anybody home. Not that I did that
because you were part.
People.
Why would you? You had a nightlife to run.
I'm sure you did.
That's why you're here.
But this guy that I'm seeing, I met him on a pirate ship. On a pirate ship. A friend of mine runs promotes events on a pirate ship. And
what's a pirate?
It's a ship that he like books a little band and some entertainment, and he invites people to pay to come on.
But
and
you
go
don't
out
raid,
into
raid anything.
No, you go out into the harbor in the moonlight and sail around the Statue of Liberty, and there's a bar and there's music and entertainment. And
I want to go.
It's really fun.
I want to go.
I wish I could promo him, but I don't know what the.
Well, don't worry about it.
But he cut like he was.
Invite me.
Yes,
invite
I will totally invite you.
And but anyway, so you met him.
This guy was on, my friend who was promoting the event said, oh, there's this guy who's celebrating his birthday and his 50th birthday, and he's bought 50 tickets for his friends. And I'm like, I said, that name doesn't ring any bells, but he's a Burning Man guy. And then when I got down to the dock, I did recognize a couple people, including a friend of mine who's a lawyer. And at one point, while out on the water, I went over to say hello to this lawyer friend. And he was talking to this other guy, and he introduced us, and we've been dating ever since. So,
well, so you met him, and then
I met him on a pirate ship.
And you
ship.
Hit, I love it.
Yeah, and we had the after party was at Lucky. So, because this guy whose birthday it was, his nickname is Lucky, and so we all went to Lucky after the pirate ship.
That's so
And my gentleman friend and I chat, and you know.
So you like him?
Yeah. I do.
And
well,
what,
8 months is a, you know.
You like him.
Yeah. And
does he know that?
He's 12 years younger than me. Or yeah, 13 yeah. Or whatever. So,
yeah,
so that's
would
pretty
figure.
Awesome.
I've
never dated
them.
Anyone older because I just, they're all.
Yeah, my boyfriend before my husband was 13 years younger. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I've
I could totally
done the younger
seen
ones.
It. I could totally see it. I could totally see it. So,
they
what
need
does
to
he
have
do?
Stamina tell... to catch up with me.
Yeah, exactly. Who else? Right, exactly. You need a younger man for sure. So, the energy level. So, what does he do or what's he?
He just started a local office of a business that's from the West Coast, and he's like a mover. Like
he runs a moving company,
yeah,
or a logistics,
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
like
moving,
that.
Shipping.
Does he work in an office?
Yeah, he has an office.
Yeah.
But he's working all of the time. He may have an office, but that's.
But he works a lot.
He's on. He's making the logistics happen everywhere.
Weird, is he a creative person in other ways, or he's like he doesn't have to have like that whole other thing?
No, he's a pretty. I mean, I won't say normal, but
he sounds like a grounded person.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's
a little more.
Really good.
He's a grown up and he's a little more living in the world of reality than me or 90% of the people
so
I know.
So that's interesting. Is that something that you would have gone for at a younger age?
I don't know. And the funny thing is that the guy who introduced us told him, you know how you have two friends and you always think those two would really hit it off? Yeah, that's not you two. So he would never have thought that we would get along. And we are very different people, but, you know, we have a good time when we're together. He has his world. I have my world. We come together.
So does he get like a total kick out of your world?
Or sometimes I think he's finds it a curiosity maybe.
Yeah.
And he can come and dabble, but I mean, like he's not going to put on, he was not dressed as a pirate on the pirate ship as I was.
No.
And he doesn't put on a Santa outfit for SantaCon, which I don't really do. I do my own thing, which is, I call it the anti-con because that's the anti-con.
That's hilarious.
And I do the Brides of March, where we dress up like brides during the Ides of March, and we roll around and ride on that sea glass carousel down in Battery Park. I mean, I still do wacky things like the Mermaid Parade and whatnot.
Sure.
Interestingly, he also is a burner, though. He went to Burning Man back in the early days, in the 90s, and his last year was 2002. And last year, 2018, was the first time he'd been back since 2002.
Uh-huh.
And 2002 was my first year on the playa, and I've been going ever since, except for the first year the bar was open.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have that in common.
Are you going to do that again? Are you going to go
We're
together?
We're both going to be there. No, he's camping in his camp, and I'm camping with my friends. So,
oh.
I mean, in all honesty, I don't look up any of the New York people when I'm out at Burning Man because
sense.
I see them here.
Right.
I see people when I'm at Burning Man that I only see at Burning Man, and I want to be with them.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
So
and
I
you want to be in that
Coast.
Experience.
Yeah.
You want to have that.
Yeah, I don't need to hang out with the New Yorkers.
I
see
love
them here.
That you're so involved in it that you're like, that's my thing.
Yeah, oh, it's a pretty
But are
big
you
thing.
Involved in the production of it in some way?
Not anymore.
But you
last
have
year,
been,
yeah.
right?
Well, I worked 10 years for Department of Public Works, which is the arm of Burning Man that does the infrastructure, the building and the teardown and the cleanup. And I ran the sign shop for a bunch of years. Last year, I went back and worked 3 weeks of production of making signs, came home, and went back for part of the event. And basically, since I quit and opened the bar and took that year off, I want to go each year and do it a little differently. So this year, I'm going to go for a week of the setup, which they call build week, and then the week of the event. So,
You know, it's funny. So we're getting to the end. We only have 5 minutes left, but I think something that I'm thinking about you, Abby. And I'm thinking about how, you know, it's really interesting what you said about your dad being a pilot and traveling a lot when you were young. And I think it must have, I'm wondering, it seems like such a great gift. Like it made you really open to a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Again, like watching my nephews and my nieces, I would never have thought that how a person is as much nature as nurture as I've seen with them. And I think I just came out being the kind of person who, you know,
everything's like, you don't seem like you get rattled.
Yeah. Well, I do get rattled.
What? So you're unflappable. You get described as unflappable, right?
Maybe I was a little flapped yesterday. So what would
that be? But that's what happened, or what makes you feel out of control?
Me. Well, yeah, I mean, things that I don't have control over, like the Department of Health, like, mm-hmm. you know, that they could come in and mm-hmm. say, I mean, it's my bar is the cleanest bar you will ever be in. I swear to, I shop mm-hmm. vac my yeah. basement.
Uh-huh.
I shop vac the basement.
No, I hear
I get
you.
On my hands and knees to clean the bathroom and the floor. But I have a shared basement, and the Department of Health has given me crap for having a shared basement.
But if we were putting together a community of first responders, I think you'd be great on that, right?
I'm not sure.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be good with people dying in front of me.
I'd probably be good at
calling 911.
Emergencies? You're good. You're like the kind of person that's good in an emergency.
Maybe. I think I probably would be better in a crisis than an emergency.
Like, really? How do you parse that?
Don't trust me to save your life. But if we're on a sinking ship, I'll probably entertain the hell out of you while we go down.
Well, that would be great. That's great. I'll call you the next time I'm on. Like if the pirate ship had gone down, you would be the person to be with.
I'd be fiddling while Rome burned, mm-hmm. I guess.
So do you and your boyfriend socialize together? Or like when you do things, I imagine you guys...
We're better just the two of us.
Uh-huh. And does he... You don't live together.
No, he doesn't want to get married again. Neither do I. He lives near where he works and I live near where...
Where does he live?
Way up on the Upper East, like Spanish Harlem.
Oh, so you don't see, so that's...
I go to his house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He comes to my house. We have dates.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. And, you know, we've traveled together and are going to be traveling together next weekend.
Where are you going?
I'm going to be celebrating my birthday in the Hamptons with some friends.
Oh, nice.
This place that my sister has. So.
Oh, wonderful.
There's a bunch of us going out there for a long weekend.
Oh, that'll be really nice.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
You know what's great? Like, from... Like I look at your point of view, you're in a new relationship. Your birthday's going to be awesome because he gives a shit.
Oh yeah, well boy, he's really good about buying things. He's bought me so many. He went to Bangkok and brought me four dresses and a necklace and perfume. He's big on giving presents, which I'm enjoying receiving. And he bought me more flowers since we've been seeing each other than every man in my whole life put together.
Wow. So. This guy sounds great.
He's doing a good job of being my boyfriend.
I'm impressed that you picked a stable guy. That makes me feel like good. Like,
well, he picked me, to be quite honest. He's like, I want that one.
Well, yeah, but you tolerated it or whatever.
Stability, I entertained it.
Here's the thing, ladies. Stability, you know, those crazy guys are fun, but they're a lot of work. Stability is just so much
chill. You don't
want
to have to take care of a guy.
So let's remind everybody where the bar is because we got to go. And you're there a lot, right? Yeah. So they can come by and meet you.
Yes. I'm usually, my shifts are Monday and Tuesday, noon till 8, because those are the crappy shifts. But I'm there for all the events, too. And it's
Say the address again.
Lucky at 168 Avenue B between 10th and 11th Street, off the park.
And the website is Lucky.
LuckyOnB.com or on Facebook or LuckyOnB.
Great. Thanks. You really, you know, you're kind of a birthday present to me. This is going to give me good stuff to reflect
on.
Good
that,
perspective.
I'll get you on the pirate ship.
So anyway, I just want to say thanks for listening in. Dr. Lisa gives a shit.